Good evening, everybody. It is exciting to be back on our Wednesday night shiur, even if we cannot be so consistent just yet. But it is now Rosh Chodesh Elul, so we couldn't have a Wednesday night where shiur was possible without having shiur. It's literally Rosh Chodesh Elul as we speak, so I thought it would be appropriate to have a shiur devoted to the topic of tshuva. So yashar koach hachem to all of you for being here. And this evening I would like to really speak to you about a very fundamental principle in tshuva. I'll share with you a story that I experienced over the summer. People who really struggle with tshuva, people who have pretty dark pasts and sins that they're not really able to kind of move past. It's a very, very real conversation. But let's learn, the classical sources, and hopefully this evening we'll come away with a perspective on tshuva me'ahava, tshuva out of love for Hashem, that can really propel our whole avoda, our service of Hashem, starting literally this evening and through the Emunah Rayim. Parsha, Shoftim. The Torah says that when we go to war, you know what's going to happen? Lo tashchis is etza lindoach alav garzin. So if you see a tree in times of war, the Torah says in Perichav Yotes, don't cut down the tree. Ki bimenu sochal v'oto lo tichurot. You should not cut down the tree. Ki ha'ada meitzas ha'ada. What, is the tree the enemy? What, you're going to cut down in a fruit tree? And the next pasuk says, "Rak eitz asher yitedah ki lo eitz machalhu." Which type of tree are you allowed to cut down? Only the type of tree that does not produce fruit. Those types of trees you are allowed to cut down during a time of war, but any fruit-bearing tree may not be cut down during war. Okay, so this is the source of Baal Tashchis. The Rambam accounts the 57th mitzvah lo sa'aseh. Shez yiranu mehashchis ha'ilanus kishenatzar al ir. So if you besiege a city, you're not allowed to what? To cut down the trees. And the Rambam says, v'chein kol hefsid nichnas tachas lav zeh. So classically, what's this known as? What is this known as? Baal Tashchis, right? So famously, the concept of don't waste food or anything like that is learned out from this specific pasuk, whereby we're not allowed to cut down the fruit tree. And included in this concept of not cutting down a fruit tree is not wasting things in general. Okay, very nice. But let's rewind to the year 2007. It's my first Shabbos in Shalavim. And Rav Moshe Gantz, one of the older Rebbeim of Shalavim, he got up to speak. And he's speaking about this mitzvah on Friday night. Literally my first experience basically with Shalavim. And he starts speaking about why the Torah would say not to cut down the fruit trees. And he uses this word mitzpun. Mitzpun? What's talking about? Mitzpun. Mitzpun. And I open up my dictionary while the rabbi is talking, which I did, every now and then during a Hebrew sicha, whether it would be from the Rosh Yeshiva, the Mashkiach, or Rav Moshe Gantz. And I look up and the word mitzpun means conscience. And he's explaining, Rav Gantz, that even when you're in war and you might have to act like an animal, barbaric, and even kill other humans, the Torah is ensuring that we maintain a sense of morality, a sense of sensitivity, and we have rachmanis, a little bit of mercy on these fruit trees. Meaning, why would you cut down an innocent fruit tree? Why would you cut down a fruit-bearing tree? You always have to maintain your purity, even in a time of war. Very nice idea. And in front of me, I have this sefer, Pnei Shabbat. That actually now is a sefer of the sichot Rav Gantz gave in Shalavim, and in that sefer is this sicha. So I remember not only do I remember it live, but it's literally in front of me on paper. It's a beautiful sicha and a beautiful idea. So we always start the shiur with parsha, but this evening I want to now use this idea of Rav Gantz as a springboard for a tshuva shiur, because every one of us has a conscience. Every one of us has a part of us that we should be in touch with, a little bit of a purity, an innocent version of the self that we may or may not be in touch with. And certainly in a time of war, we might forget that innocent, naive, pure self. And the Torah is demanding that we not lose sense of that purity. And how does that relate to tshuva? Right? Tshuva is all about that, right? What happens to ourselves when we sin? We're basically creating those layers of muck, of barriers between us and our most pure selves. And there's an amazing idea from Rav Kook. Rav Kook has a sefer Orot Hatshuva. So how did I know a little bit about the sefer? Who is one of the greatest Marbitzei Torah of that sefer? Of Moshe Weinberger Shlita. He has maybe a 3-volume sefer at this point, Oros Hatshuva, or the Path of Tshuva, where he basically has, he gave shiurim on the Rav Kook's Oros Hatshuva, and they were written down, and Rav Moshe Weinberger turned it into a sefer. It's an amazing thing, and there are many svarim in the Haredi Lumi, the Tzilu Mi world, written on Rav Kook's works, and Perushim on Oros Hatshuva, etc. And I really know this specifically because the great Rav Judah Michel Shlita, when he came out with the sefer Baderech, and Shuva 2 years ago, so maybe Markowitz Shlita, he gave me a copy. And Rav Judah, again, it's an amazing sefer. And Rav Judah writes this piece of Rav Kook in the very beginning of the sefer. And Rav Kook, I have it in front of me, the Oros HaTshuva, Perek Tes Vav, he writes, V'hatshuva hareishit, shehi me'ira et hamachashchim miyad. The type of tshuva that will immediately remove some of the darkness upon oneself, he sheyashuv adam el atzmo. An amazing thing that you return what? I would have said that when you do tshuva, who are you returning to? I would have said you're returning to Hashem. But I remember Rav Moshe Weinberger explaining Rav Kook this way, and now I'm literally looking at the Rav Kook in front of me. That what does it mean to return? Tshuva, the word lashuv, tshuva means to return. Who are you returning to? El atzmo. You're returning to yourself. It's an amazing idea. El shoresh nishmato. Says Rav Kook, the whole premise, or at least a major component of tshuva, is to return to the source of one's own neshama, and when you do so, umiyad yashuv el Elokim. And when you return to yourself, inevitably you'll immediately return to Hashem, who's the source of all neshamas. And Rav Kook says it's not only unique to the individual; it applies to all of Klal Yisrael and even all of mankind. But if you follow the approach of Rav Kook, the main avoda, or at least a crucial element of tshuva, is to return to one's self. And here I'm connecting that to Rav Gantz and the Parsha, right? Because the whole idea of not cutting down the fruit tree in a war is to not lose touch with your pure self. And this evening, I think it's important to maybe think a little bit about the purest version of ourselves that maybe we are no longer in touch with, that we can touch potentially again this coming Yom Kippur. I'll preface with a story, and this story I tell on Tisha B'Av. There's no question that Tisha B'Av is part of the Avoda that should transition us into Elul. And this is a story I say sometimes in the kinos, whereby when I was in kindergarten, the minog in my class in Shiva HaTorah was that you would write a bunch of letters to the birthday boy. And he'd get a big envelope with everyone's messages from the class. And so I got one of these big overstuffed envelopes when I was turning 6 in kindergarten. Shiva HaTorah, okay, very nice. I remember my mother came. I blew out the candle and the cupcake and the whole, I got a crown with a 6 on it. Very exciting moment in my life. Really, a milestone. There's a picture. this is one of the major accomplishments. Years later, I'm in high school or so, and a boy who I grew up with essentially went off the derech. And I stumble upon my old kindergarten envelope, whereby all these 6-year-olds and 5-year-olds, whatever, wrote letters to me, wishing me good birthday wishes upon turning 6. And I found the letter that this kid wrote to me when he was in kindergarten. And the boy, when I was reading the letter at 10th grade or so, had really taken a very negative turn in his avodas Hashem. And he was no longer, let's say, a pure 6-year-old. But when he was 6, he had written to me, "Dear Yoni, happy birthday. I hope that we can learn Torah together when we are older in Yerushalayim." That was a pure neshama moment, right, that he had, right? And I remember, speaking about this on Tisha B'Av, saying that I wish I could take that letter, show it to that 10th grader, say, "This is who you really are. Now, when you were 6, you were this pure. And I know that deep down, you're still that pure, but, obviously there are layers between what you're doing right now and what you used to do when you were 6, and of Baruch Hashem, there's a happy ending to that particular story, without going into the details. But we can understand the concept that we make mistakes and we kind of cover that purity, and it needs to be uncovered. And it is now Rosh Chodesh Elul. The month of Elul begins on Friday, and the Torah brings down from the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer And on Rosh Chodesh El, Hashem said to Moshe, okay, go back up to Har Sinai in order to receive the Lucho Shnios. And what happened then? They blew the shofar when Moshe went up. Now, why did they sound the shofar when Moshe went back up to Har Sinai? To make it abundantly clear that what? That he was going up. Because what happened last time Moshe went up? They made a grave error, right? They miscalculated. So now this time they made a very big fuss with a lot of fanfare to avoid any Avodah Zarah issues so they wouldn't make a Cheder Egel again. And therefore there's a takana that on Rosh Chodesh Elul we blow the shofar again. And the Torah writes, V'chol ha-chodesh k'dei l'hazer Yisrael sheyasu tshuva. So we actually don't only blow the shofar on Rosh Chodesh Elul, but rather what do? We continue to blow the shofar the entire month in order to inspire us to do tshuva. Okay, now parenthetically, again, this is brought down in the Raman Shulchan Aruch that we blow the the shofar. Mishabura says there's a machlokes whether we start blowing in the first day of Rosh Chodesh or the second day of Rosh Chodesh. And he says the minog of the Nesivos of the Derech HaChaim was the second day specifically. So I don't know if anyone is aware of our minog. Second day, right? And the David, we already start saying this evening. No, we wait till tomorrow night. I said the Gabbai is
actually Friday day.
Sometimes they say here at night. I think the real men are going to do it by day.
By day, so Friday day. Not tonight. No, the David tonight. Definitely not tonight. Okay. All right. So believe it or not, the Bach. So the commentator on the tour. So he brings down that drum that Elul is. Anila dodi v'dodi li. So the word Elul spells out that the pasuk in Shir Hashirim, I am to my beloved is to me. And the idea says the Bach, ki be'elu mem yimei ha'tshuva, these 40 days between Rosh Chodesh Elul leading up to Yom Kippur, says the Bach, mekubelet liyot libo karov el dodo. There is an easier opportunity for us to be closer to our beloved, namely the Ribon Shalom b'tshuva. And that's a reciprocal relationship. Va'az, dodo karov l'kabel tshuva me'ahav. It's an unbelievable thing. That, again, not only does the pasuk anila dividili spell out Elul, but the last letter in every word of that pasuk, anila dodi vidodili, is yud. There are four words in the pasuk, yud. That is 40, and that's an allusion to the 40 days between Rosh Chodesh Elul and Yom Kippur. And therefore argues the Bach, a halachic source, that these are days where tshuva is easier to accomplish and literally more accepted. Unbelievable. But the Bach added one word. He said that Hashem will receive our tshuva me'ahava, from love. And I probably would have glossed over that word in the Bach. But just today, I want to thank my wife. I was in Queens with my kid, my wife picked this up for me. I just saw on a YU email that Rav Rosenzweig, Shlita of YU Rashiva, just published a Sefer on Tshuva. Mimini Michael. Brand new Sefer. I was super excited about this. So my wife was doing some errands in Teaneck when I was with my kids in Queens. And I asked her to go into Judaic House to pick up a copy. And Baruch Hashem, she nailed it. And I was so excited. I'm a huge Rav Rosenzweig fan. He was around the Ancestor by Summer Kola for a bit. This past summer, and I got to spend some time with him and hear from him, etc. But he is an amazing, really no words to describe him. However, he's a Y'er Shiva who I have not really learned enough from. I was in Meir Twersky Shir, and I was learning a lot from Rav Schechter and Rav Willig. And although I've had plenty of interactions with Rav Rosenzweig, and he knows me a little bit, but I never sat in his Shir, on a consistent basis. So I was so excited when he came up with the Sefer because I could really now learn his Torah. Now again, not that I've never heard shit from him, not that I haven't learned his Torah before, but to have a Sefer from Rav Rosenzweig to me is a very nice opportunity to really kind of delve into his Torah. And Rav Rosenzweig actually has, I've already learned so much from the Sefer just in the past couple of hours. But he writes from that Bach the following: the eternal nature of the relationship between God and the Jewish people has profound implications for the special tshuva opportunity of the month of Elul. Wow. This should motivate us to seize the opportunity of Elul. This period is dedicated not only to the narrow pursuit of merits that secure our physical survival, but it is even more an opportunity to focus on the special bond that undergirds the purpose of existence and the concept of tshuva. So we have our work cut out for us, so to speak, here, now that we're in Elul. And we have to really understand that we're doing tshuva out of love. So this evening, I want to elaborate on a piece of Torah from the Rav, and maybe we'll get back to Rav Soloveitchik. Sorry, we'll get back to maybe Rosenzweig Sefer, because there's so much to already learn from there. But the Rav has a mahalach and ala tshuva about tshuva me'ava, and as the Bach just told us, based on Anila Dodi V'Doli Li, that whereas many people might associate Elul as tshuva me'ira, as a time of fear, Anila Dodi V'Doli Li reminds us that it's a time of love. So what does it mean to do tshuva out of love? So the Gemara Maseches Yuma Pevav and Beis, Rish Lakish, famously teaches us that tshuva is so powerful, says donos naselo kishkogos, that if you sinned intentionally in the past, and now you do tshuva, so your intentional sins are now what? Demoted, and now they're considered as if they were only done what? Unintentionally. Wow. But the Gemara says, that's not true. There's a pasuk that contradicts that. And ultimately, the Torah actually seems to suggest that if you do tshuva, maybe you can argue that what? That your averus don't only go from intentional to unintentional, but rather what? Your averus are transformed into mitzvos. That God the tshuva says, that Hashem can actually view your previous sins as mitzvos. As mitzvos. So wait, which one is it? And the Gemara answers, lo kasha kan me'ava, kan me'yira. It depends. If you do tshuva out of love, that's when Hashem transforms your sins into mitzvos. But if your tshuva is on a lower level, that you're only doing tshuva out of fear of Hashem, that is when your sins get transformed not into mitzvos, but they get knocked into this category of you did the Aveira, but we can have mercy, says Hashem, and view your sin as only having been unintentional as opposed to intentional. But what that means is that you, as a Jew, if you do tshuva me'ava, your past sins can literally turn into mitzvot. Can anyone try to explain how that's possible? What does it mean that your sin is a mitzvah?
Basically turn bad into something good.
Yeah, but how is that possible? The mice say you sinned, right? So how can you turn something that was bad into something good?
It's your kochos that cause you to do that. And then...
All right, so you know, like David HaMelech, right? So, you know, like famously, people who have kochos to what? You know, maybe for bloodshed or whatever. So instead of murdering, now you're a moel. Or instead of murdering, now you're a...
Or shave the leg.
A shochet, right.
Say the Levi in the bracha of Yaakov, it's a hurt from the Raven, from Moses' son, or Shimshon Bar Hirsch. What is it, a klala that Shave the Levi was separated? No, it was a bracha. No, they turned their kanaut from killing people into teaching people.
Very good. Yes, yeah, so I'm gonna tell you a little bit of an intense story. So again, I dealt with many NCSY programs this past summer, and there was a young Jew, a holy Jew, who told me, Rabbi, I cannot do tshuva. What I did in the past is so bad, I cannot do tshuva. I can't. And I said, no, you can. He says, no, you don't get it, I can't. And again, without elaborating on the details, there are people who cannot view themselves as capable of doing tshuva. And the Rav, basically, in Ala Tshuva, here on page 177 or so, says there are people who want to erase their past. And then as Adams described, the people who use their past to motivate them to become better. And if we can not erase the past as if we have to delete the, you know, 30 years of our life or whatever, but somehow transform them as a motivation to move forward, so then you're teaching Hashem, I'm using all those years for good. I'm not trying to erase the past, but I'm using the past to help me become a better Jew. And that, I guess, is the Avodah of El. That you're not looking to erase the past, but you're looking to use the past. And if you can somehow look at your past sins and genuinely use those stories, those episodes in your life as a motivational factor to get closer to Hashem, so that's the ultimate avoda. Now, you could argue that's not always possible. The Sikor was telling me, you know, Rabbi, you don't get it. It's not possible. I sinned. It's there. So it is true, sometimes you have to erase, and sometimes it's very, very challenging to use very, very dark things for good. However, there's no question that that there's so many opportunities where we have the potential at least to not hide from our past, but embrace our past. And what the Rav beautifully so says is that when we don't, again, erase our past, but we elevate the past. That's when you're genuinely using your Averus as a good thing. So I don't know, it's a little bit of a lofty goal. It's a little bit vague at this point, but I hope that we can all face Hashem with Tshuva Me'ava this year and not hide from our past, but use it as a motivational tool for the future.